And through the grace of God, the revival is on. And by the grace of God, tomorrow, we are going into healing and deliverance ministry. Others are still coming, but please let me make this quick announcement. That tomorrow, we want to pray to every dead situation. And as many, whichever way, shall step this place, every dry bone shall rise. Amen. Some people are not in tune with me. I say, as many that will step here tomorrow, dry bones shall rise. Amen. So please remind me, we'll still make the announcement, but you help me do something. Anything that is dead, that you know, that you want God to bring back to life, just put it in paper. Praise the Lord. And bring it here tomorrow. Please don't write, my son wants to travel, and I want God to bless me. Mm-mm. And I want God to open way for me. Mm-mm. Please don't put that there. It may be dangerous. It's part of the warning. It's part of what you should take note of. But if you just discover that it is this my business, it is this particular thing that you want resurrection power to fall on, please bring them here tomorrow. The prophet said, so that you will know that there is God in also church, Lekki. And I don't speak by the reason of men. I don't speak by the schemes of men. Beloved, I speak as I receive from above. Praise the Lord. Today is the second day. And what we want to examine today, as I've said yesterday, is danger of disobedience. Still in tune and in line with the same word which says, take heed. And yesterday, we were able to establish, or rather I let you know, that I asked myself a question, why five passages? I went further to discover that it's a serious matter. Take heed can determine our present life. Can determine our future, can determine eternity. And we examined the 10 virgins yesterday. I was trying to rush because it's about three parables that Jesus gave there about the kingdom of God. And each one is about taking care or take heed, be warned, be careful, examine critically, take a decision so that as you journey in life, you will have a better destination. Beloved of God, we want to continue today. Disobedience is one of the instruments of the enemy. Of course, to cause havoc, to cause obstruction in our lives, in our spiritual life, in our family. Beloved of God, in our business, in our profession, in our career, in our vocation, in many ways. The purpose of the enemy is to ensure that we did not get to the promised land. But I pray for somebody tonight. You will get to your promised land in the name of Jesus. Amen. Simply put, disobedience is going against the will of God. I don't want to go into theology. I don't want to go into different meaning. Disobedience means going against the will of God. And yesterday we established in that Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 where God said, I have placed before you blessing and curse, life and death, right way and the wrong way. But God said, I advise you, choose blessing so that you and your children, you may live. But beloved, the plan of Satan for us is to cut our life short, is to bring obstacles, is to bring hindrance. Beloved, is to cross us in the way so that we not get to the promised land. But unfortunately, a lot of us today, we have been enticed, we have been deceived by this world, by the enemy, to choose the wrong path. You will not go the wrong way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is a popular verse. The Lord said, the thought I have for you is of good, and not of evil, praise the Lord, so that my own children, those that can discern, those that can see the handwriting on the signboard, those beloved of God, that can quickly heed to the call of God, will not fall or run into danger. There are evil in this world. There are a lot of things, beloved, that stands in the way of man, that stands as hindrance, that stands as obstacle. Beloved of God, that is dragging us back. Many people started well, but they cannot finish well. Many people started with high hope, with high expectation, beloved, believing that very soon they will get there. But lo and behold, the enemy is always there. They will not cross your way. They will not block your way. And whatever is that obstacle, by fire they shall be removed. In the name of Jesus. So as children of God, we must not sleep. We must not be carried away. You must not allow the enemy to rob you of the blessing of God. God is ever ready. God is always there. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you. It's a thought of good, not of evil, so that we have an expected end. So that, beloved of God, as we journey in life, things will be easy. But unfortunately, there is always a battle. And somebody must overcome. You will reach your promised land. You will reach your promised land. You will reach your promised land. We want to examine four personalities in the scripture. Beloved, they started well. Unfortunately, along the line, they allowed enemy to deceive them. Some of them, they carry the power of God. Some of them, they have the backing of God. Some of them, just like we established yesterday, they felt they have gotten to a stage that even if heaven falls, nothing will happen to them. And heaven did not fall, something is happening to them. The first person, because we are going far, as I've said, and we are still going to pray, then tomorrow is like a D-Day. Whatever you have lost, whether by reason of disobedience, you will recover back in the name of Jesus. Let us examine the life of King Saul. King Saul is a promising and the first king in Israel with awful authority of kingship. However, in the middle of his reign, he failed God and lose his throne. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 23. Samuel told Saul, has the Lord have great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, hello, is better than ram. But a lot of us, we believe in sacrifice. We believe that once we appease God, God will hear. Once we do whatever we want to do in the world, and we are able to come to the presence of God, we will bribe him. God is not a man. God is not somebody you can bribe. All he desires, all he wants, all what God wants from us is obedience. No wonder the scripture says the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. Why? Because even if anything is coming, even if anything is happening, even if anything is about to happen to them, beloved of God, because they don't have any skeleton in their cupboard, because they live a righteous life, because they are upright with God, because they will not backbite, because they will not witch hunt, beloved of God, they are always at peace. But unfortunately, this man got it wrong. With every opportunity, with every grace, being the first king ever in the land of Israel to be chosen by God, beloved of God, with every instruction, with every grace of God, King Saul messed up. And David told him, is it even not better to obey God than what you have done. And that teared his kingdom. That removed his honor. That removed his glory. And he died in the hand of the enemy. What are the sins of Saul? Number one, he performed unauthorized worship. King Saul performed a ritual that was meant to be observed by Prophet Samuel. The scripture said, Samuel delayed just for 7 days. Praise the Lord. And this young man felt, what is this man doing in the altar that I cannot do? I've seen him several times perform this sacrifice. I've seen him several times appealing God. I've seen him several times doing this thing. In our ministry, we have an adage. We have a language. Praise the Lord. If by chance there is any movement that you suspect, or the fact somebody is trying to play some pranks, they will say, wait for your time. There is time for everybody. Beloved, every one of us is designed to be glorious. But you must wait. You must know your area. You must walk in the area that the God Lord has assigned for you. The scripture said, Samuel delayed. There's one painful thing I will bring out there. And this man waited the first day. He waited the second day. He waited the third day. Where is this prophet? We are running out of time. He waited the fourth day. He waited the fifth day. He waited the sixth day. He waited the seventh day and decided, well, let me go ahead. But the scripture said something. Praise the Lord. Let's look at that 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 10. 1 Samuel 13, 10. Now it happened, as soon as he has finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. What a pity. And I asked myself, why this man did not wait till the eighth day? Why can't he be patient just to finish in glory? But unfortunately, immediately on the seventh day, as he performed the worship, the scripture said, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and he greeted him. I said, oh, you are welcome. He said, what has happened? Say, we waited because we didn't see you. I have to perform this offering. Praise the Lord. When you read the scripture, please read with understanding. Samuel, verse 13. Look at the reply of Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. A whole king. You have acted foolishly. There is no time. I went to the scripture and I discovered that there are about 12 people like Saul, that acted foolishly in the scripture. Just because of little patience. Just because they cannot wait. And I'm sure the scripture cannot lie. Samuel did not delay for 21 days. It took him only 7 days to come there. But unfortunately, what he met was not what he's supposed to meet. And that's number one sin. Number two, failure to destroy, let me say, the whole Amalekites. Not Amalekites, because he tried. But look at the errors we commit every day. Everybody wants God to understand that. And it's like, an issue came up in this church like that. I was just worried where I was sitting. See, even if we get to heaven, is this what people will be saying? That God, you know. God, you should understand. We are still coming there. Beloved of God, obedience is better than sacrifice. God commanded Saul, go to Amalek, and destroy everything, both old and young, human being and the animals. But when God saw God there, he not only preserved some, but the scripture said, the good ones. Was trying to reason for God. How can God send me to this place to come and destroy these beautiful ladies? can God send me here to come and destroy these handsome men? God must be wrong. I'm very sure it's that lame man on the road in this town that God wants me to destroy. I'm very sure. Can God tell me to come and destroy this king? This king that looks empty, that looks handsome. Yes, that looks like somebody that can control a nation, city, that can give order. I will spare this one. The scripture said, he spared some and killed those ones that are not good, that are not okay. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatling, and of the lamb, and all that was good, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed. Again, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it pains me. This is not a man that I put in position. This is not the type of king that I want, that cannot obey, that cannot follow instruction, that cannot do my will. God said, it pains me that I made Saul to be a king. Let's look at what verse 18 said. In trying to appease God, he now took some steps. Let us see. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go utterly, destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Let's read on. Yes. Why then do you not obey? You see this. Another sin of Saul. Why then didn't you obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of God? Note the word there. Why don't you obey God? Why do you decide to reason for God? I have a friend, very tough man, very tough. Anytime we are talking, and I say, oh, and take it, it's okay. What you are trying to say is, excuse me, please don't think for me. I can reason. I don't like it. Don't think for me. Anytime you want, don't think for me. I don't like it. Let me talk. It'll be like, say this one. So even if you are talking to that person the next day, you better don't think for him, or else he will slap you. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, after God has endured and endured and endured with Saul, by that act, the Spirit of God departed from him. And it can't be empty. Sorry for that. In 1 Samuel 16, 14, the scripture said, somebody must occupy his life. I see reasons why today a lot of us have this problem. The Spirit of God departed from him immediately, instantly, instanta. And before he could know it, evil spirit penetrated, entered into him. From then on, Saul did not balance. You know the rest of the story. He was misbehaving, doing all sorts of things, committing error upon error. Then he went to now seek for the spirit of death. He was now trying to find a way. But my problem with Saul is that why didn't he come back to God just like David? Yes, the sin has been committed. God is ever ready. God is still there. But he left God. Remember, he was the one who drove all the evil spirit, all diviners out of Israel. He now went back to there. You will not go back in the name of Jesus. You will not fall victim of any evil in the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, this first king of Israel died in the hand of the enemy. That will not be your portion. Number two, there are many there, but I just speak for the children of Eli. They did evil in the sight of God. They are supposed to follow the footstep of their father, but they disobeyed God. What are their sins? Number one, they disobeyed their father. It's a grievous sin. We know the fifth law: honor thy father and thy mother, so that your days will be long in the land of the living. God does not want sacrifice. God does not want a disobedient child. God does not want us to act foolishly. God does not want us to take law into our hands. God does not want us to believe that we can do whatever we like and get away with it. It's not possible. What made me to be afraid is that in Exodus 23, I think 23 down, God told his children, I'm sending you somewhere. My angels will lead you. And he told them, be careful with him. Hello? He's leading you to destroy your enemy, but don't mess up on the road. The same instruction. Because as he's leading you, if you try to mess up or do anything, the same measure. But if you heed, if you follow him, if you obey, if you listen, he will lead you, like one man will always say, Baba God will lead us gently to our destination. And everybody will say, amen. I fear this God. Hey! Because he is God, he is no respecter of any man, no matter what. People of God, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, their father called them to order. But yet, because they are designed for destruction, they will not hear. Say, no, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear the people of the law spreading abroad. But they are on top. Our father is a prophet. Our father is the head. Our father is a man of God. And they decided to go their own way. They decided to terrorize the whole city, even in their father's time. And their father is a great man of God, a great prophet of God. And the man was diligent. The man was committed. But unfortunately, there's little he can do. Look at our generation. Look at our society. Look at what is happening now. Gone are the days when you will speak or talk before your children and they will say, yes, ma. Ah, I'm still looking for such a family now. They will stand before you. They want to argue. They want to prove their point. Even at the point, if you want to caution them, they say, Daddy, I'm now 16. Daddy, I'm now 18. Daddy, you can't beat me again. I remembered what I suffered in my father's hand. Even close to 20, let me put it that way. You know, as boys, unfortunately, the generation is changing. The day we just tried and said, let us just attend that party. And of course, my dad, where we are living in our house there, we lock the door. We make sure he keep the key in his room for us not to go out. But you know, children, now we just look at there is a way now. We just pass through the back door, jump the first step and go down, go and come back. Beloved of God, our parents are trying, but I pray that will not bring condemnation to them. I pray that your children will not bring condemnation to you. Not knowing, we didn't know that any time we are sleeping, Baba is not sleeping. He always came to our room to check. They are okay. Nothing is wrong. But this fateful day, we came back around 5 in the morning, gently climbed from the same way, entered the room, cover ourselves as if we are sleeping. Baba just came. Where did you go? Ah, Lord, become come. Say, eh? He didn't go anywhere. No phone that time to snap and say, this is it. Say, you left this house. But what saved us is that he did not lock the back door anyway. Because if he has done that, we won't be able to enter. And as old as we are, 3 of us, he lied us down and beat us. My son, what I'm hearing about you, the news across the city is not a good one. What is happening? They said, Baba, leave us. We want to enjoy our lives. Beloved, these children, they fornicate. They sleep with any dog. So which means the world we are coming from, self, we are still going far. Anything under the skirt, they're always there. They terrorize the whole city. Beloved of God, they deny people of their right by taking what does not belong to them. There is a portion that is assigned to them, but when they get there, they use a finger hook. So, okay, this part one, pia. Bring this one. Even as they are preparing the meat, instead of waiting for them to say, okay, this is the portion of the prophet. This is the portion of the king. Let's take it there. They will say, hey, what are you cooking? That one. And they use finger hook. One. And they mess up. Danger of disobedience. The scripture warned, take heed. And I said yesterday that it's just like a finger. I was trying to check from one advice to the other. From one warning to the other, it's like it attends different issues, different occasions, different events. I wanted to run it down yesterday, but no time then too. I know we don't need all that. But we need the word. Before we pray tomorrow, before miracles start happening, because life, before lives are changed, before situations are changed, beloved, you need to open your two ears and listen to what God is saying. They incurred God's judgment upon their family, and before they know it, they lost everything. There is glory in the life of this man of God, great man of God. But they came, they saw, and they destroyed. To the extent that God said, I myself promised the house of Eli that in their order, their seed in their several generations shall be a prophet before me. God said, far from me. Ah. Said, far from me. God forbid it will not happen again. Just because of their disobedience. Just because of what they did. Just because of their careless manners, way, and attitude of life. And of course, it wasn't the same thing. We know the story. Even when there was supposed to be joy, they came to that woman that gave birth. Say, ah, your husband and your brother and the father died in the battle. And immediately she was pressed. And she brought forth a joy to the world. Praise the Lord. Ask me the name of the baby. Ichabod. Say, what are we rejoicing for? Glory departed. Your glory will not depart. But beloved, if by chance God is talking to you tonight, you need to readdress certain things. You need to re-examine your life. Beloved, you need to walk in the path of righteousness. I'm not holy, but I think I shared it with some people. And I always mention it when we come to Bible study. It's not a fun. It's not to mark attendance. It's not for the vicar to ask you the next day. We didn't see you yesterday. It's not for you to just feel that, let me go and while away time, so that after some time I will be able to go home. Beloved, is a serious matter between you and God. Every message, beloved, have a pointer. And every word by God, because you are there, God wants something to be corrected in your life. But if you just take it for granted, and you feel that it's Bible study, it's sermon, it does not concern me. Where do you belong? Every night, I get to, beloved of God, I examine my life for that day. Is there anything to correct tomorrow? If you don't live your life that way, there's a problem. That's why a lot of people will just leave Lagos and go to Abuja and commit fornication. They don't mind. That's why some people will hide anywhere and do evil, because there's no check and balance in their life. It's a long story. Beloved, they incurred God's judgment upon their family. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 30 to 31. And eventually, they lost their glory in that family. They lost the grace of God. Beloved of God, the covenant, everlasting covenant that God made with them, that they are the one that will be priest in their several generation. God said, far be it. It will not happen again. The third person is the young prophet. This man, I pity him. I pitied him so much. Because his own case is different. He came with every authority. He came with every power. And he's just growing. And God endowed him with every grace to perform miracle, to do wonder. Beloved of God, signs are happening, just like what will happen here tomorrow. Things are changing. Once he made a pronouncement, immediately heaven will respond. But God said, I'm sending you on an errand this time around. When you get there, don't eat. When you get there, don't drink. When you get there, the way you enter through, do not come back the same way. The young man said, yeah. Detailed instruction. And ditto, when he got there, he made the pronouncement of God today. This is what God said. A child shall be born in this city, and this is how he will be. And the king said, in my kingdom, no way. Hold him. Hello? And the hand still there. Any evil hand that want to hold you captive, I pray they shall paralyze. In the name. That is the power of God in actions. And the hand still. And he was pleading, please, man of God. How will it be said in the society that the whole king, that the whole me, help me, help me? And okay, let there be relief. And there was a relief. And the king was like, wonderful. Follow me to my house. I will give you up of my kingdom. I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. And the man said, no. I have an instruction from God that here I should not eat. Let's read 1 Kings 13, 6 to 9. I'd like to read the word of God so that I don't be as if, what's he saying? It's in your Bible, the one you carry for hand there. 1 Kings 13, 6 to 9. Yes. Okay. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was. Yes. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me, and I will refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Device of the devil. And God knew why he said, don't eat. Not even because of this king. Because of the danger ahead. I told you yesterday. Because God knows today, tomorrow, and thereafter. God knew that something will happen. That's like when Samuel was to anoint David. And I'm still looking at that passage. I can't really get out something there. God said, go. I found for myself another king. David, go to the city. Go. I wonder why somewhere we advise God or observe something. I say, God, there is a king on throne. If I dare go, he will kill me. He said, okay, no problem. I can understand. You are the one that is afraid, not me. Just go there. Say, peace may you live, king. the Lord and have not kept his commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. Read on. 22. But you came back, ate bread and drink water in the your curse shall not come to the comb of your fathers. The pronouncement was made, and that cost him his life and ministry. He started well, but could not end well. You will finish well. The fourth person I want us to examine is Jonah. God sent him to Nineveh. Go and warn these people of Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 1. Their sin is before me, and they are walking outside my radar. Warn them before it is too late. Instead of Jonah to go and deliver God's message, he decided to disobey. And he ran from the presence of God. Beloved, that singular action, by that singular action, he endangered his life. By taking a boat to Tarshish in verse 3. And because of his disobedience, what I want to bring out there is that the traders, the businessmen, the business women that are doing their own business, they are in that boat. Immediately he entered, problem came because he disobeyed God and God wanted to deal with him. But unfortunately, when there is wind, when there is trouble, they couldn't discern, they couldn't know where this is coming from, and all the traders decided, you know what we are going to do? All our goods, all we have labored for, everything that we have, let's put it in the water. At least we'll save our life. Thank you, sir. But along the line, they begin to wonder what could have happened. What's bringing this issue? Why is it this way? Why is this problem befalling us? And they cast a lot. And they discovered that it was Jonah that is the problem. They are able to save their lives, but they lost everything. I don't know what you have lost through disobedience. I don't know what you have teamed up with. I don't know who have teamed up with you. I don't know what causes the problem you are passing through today. But upon this mountain today, they can be rectified. Let me quickly rush and give us 15 things that can happen if you disobey God. 15. Number one, there will be total disconnection. Totally. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Apostle Paul said, I perceive that God is no respecter of any man. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Once he dishes out his own instruction, what he expects is for you to carry it out and do it well. Beloved, the world, take it. I discovered about four passages that is an advance to that. Let me quickly share it with you. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 4. So you must ensure that there is no disconnection between you and God, or else you run into danger. Or else the Spirit of God will leave you and you can't be empty. Evil spirit will come in. Deuteronomy 2, 4. And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren. Of who? I'm not hearing you. Please, speak out. Is it the camp of their enemy? Thank you, sir. And I was trying to study yesterday night. And I said, wow. And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren. The descendants of Esau will live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourself carefully. Even among brethren. Watch yourself carefully. Well, KJV, if you have it on board, it says, take good heed. Don't know whether this KJV says, take good heed. And I wondered, so even you can take heed and still fall into problem among brethren, among the enemy, among your peers. Anyhow, but he instructed them, God bless you. Take ye good heed. Examine it critically. Don't let anybody maneuver anything. The scripture said, even if we, Peter told them, Paul, even if it's we are the one, if it's another angel, after we have preached Christ to you and came back and was saying, oh, that Christ we preach, there is another Christ. What did the scripture say? Let them be accursed. This Christ I have known is one I will follow. It's the one I have known. Beloved, don't twist the word of God. That's what happened between that great prophet and the young prophet. God gave me instructions. Thank you, sir. Even as prophets, you don't eat everywhere. But if there is a detailed instruction, you follow. Deuteronomy 4:15. The same Deuteronomy 4:15. Take ye therefore good heed. There's something God wants to do. I want to appreciate the evangelical group in your wisdom. Yes, if it is one text message or passage, I will just overlook it. But the spirit was just troubling me. Why five? So let me search the scripture too. And I discover we are going a long way. It's a serious matter. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. So it's not alone to take heed. Take good heed. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. This one says, but take diligent heed. Joshua 23, verse 11. Take good heed. Therefore unto yourself that you love the Lord your God, so that when his judgment will come, you won't be affected. Number two, disobedience will make you lose your glory. There are a lot of passages. I won't go there again. Number three, disobedience can bring forth affliction into one's life. Psalm 90, verse 15. And Isaiah 12:1. Number four, obedience can withdraw God's protection from someone. Because by disobeying God, what we are saying is that I can't do myself. Number five, disobedience can expose someone to danger and attack from any angle. Any angle. Once you are exposed, once you disobey God, it's like an open door for the enemies to come in. Number six, disobedience can send someone to early grave. You will not die before your time. Of course, we know what happened in that 1 Samuel 4:19 and that 1 Kings 13:26. Those of them died mysteriously. They died before their time. Number seven, disobedience can render someone to be useless in the service of God. Jeremiah 3:20 and Jeremiah 2:11. Number eight, disobedience can make someone or can make you to go back, to go 10 steps back rather than moving forward, or you remain in the same position. They know I can't agree. They can't talk to me like that. I won't adjust. I told us here one day, I have a brother. Anytime you say, no, you call that boy, man, don't advise me. I'm 50 years old. I said, brother, he said, in those days, he said, brother, I said, don't advise me. He said, but we will talk now. I think I mentioned it here, but this is a man that even if he writes a letter, you will query the letter that we didn't understand what he's saying. If he speaks, everybody will be looking. What's he saying again? He will just talk nonsense. For all of you that are here, we have sense among you. And that's how we say it, carelessly. You are not right, every one of you. Even if you write the letter, the way we put the letter, we say, I just want you to know that you are stupid, though. And when you now bring the letter to say, that's not what I mean. I just want to tell you that the way you spoke to me yesterday, I'm not happy. Kilagbe. Kiledenju. That's his own way and manner of life. That person cannot move forward. Everybody will run from him. Beloved, disobedience can make you to go back 10 steps, but no way forward. Or you remain there. In this life, there is what we call favor of God. There is what we call mercy. In this life, there is what we call opportunity. Beloved, some are favored than others. You can't do anything about that. Whether let heaven fall, it won't change anything. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. If Esau is now angry, why would they love Esau? Oh, sorry, why would they love Jacob I won't agree? You will remain there. You will just be going back while others are moving forward. Remember the story of the talents. If you are giving 10, use it wisely. If you are giving 5, use it wisely. If it's only 1, prove that you are there. Hey! Prove that what? You are there. That man said, why will he give me 1? Others are giving 10. God said, thank you. Where is my gift? And the one that had 10 said, Tambianu. Bah. And he gave to him, becoming 11. And you are there saying, heaven will not fall, people of God. Disobedience can make someone to draw back, to go back and lose your blessing and glory. Hey, where are you? God is talking to somebody. You must toy the line of obedience. God is no respecter of anyone, no matter the situation. God will always be God. You are the one that should roll in. Samuel said, Saul, you have acted foolishly. So you can't wait, even if it's 100 days for me to come. Number 9. Disobedience can deny someone of good and valuable things. Because my own scripture tells me that every good and perfect gift comes from God, Father of all, in whom there is no variation. Number 10. Disobedience can put one into permanent darkness. We read that yesterday. Take it so that the light in you will not turn to darkness. Beloved, you can walk in the midst of light and still be in darkness. And you'll be looking at yourself. What is happening? Say, we don't know. And everybody will be moving. You'll be there. Until they go far, you'll be asking yourself, where are they? Number 11. Through disobedience, the Spirit of God can depart from someone's life. Samson is there. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. We know what happened. I will go with the same power, not knowing that God has left him. I will go the same way because he has been enjoying that protection, that providence. Beloved of God, he has been enjoying that grace of God. But he's not careful enough. He's committing sin. Is going the wrong way and enjoying the benefit, the favor, the grace of God. God is not foolish, people of God. He will forever be God. And before you know it, the enemy came like before. And the wife said, Samson, enemy has come against. I will go in the same power. Which power? Number 12. Disobedience can subject someone to a miserable life. A miserable one. Psalm 38, verse 14. Beloved, disobedience is like a venom that spreads. It can affect the children. It can affect the family. It can affect anyone. We saw the story of Eli, Ophni, Phineas. What happened to them? There is an interesting story. But me, I like to. This is my special area. So because not only, oh Lord, approve, oh Lord, do, before we do that, let's settle some certain things so that we know where you are going. There's a story in Numbers, but we'll read that again. We'll read that because of time. But beloved, disobedience is like a burn. It can destroy a whole family, a whole generation, a whole nation, if you are not careful. Look at what happened at Nineveh. I want to destroy the whole city But look at what the king did when the opportunity came. Say, eh? Who are we to contend with God? Oh, yeah. And he started from him. He came down from his throne, removed his garments, and said even to the animals, nobody should eat. That's the first place in the scripture that it was recorded that God repented of the evil that he wanted to inflict on them. It's a serious matter, people of God. Righteousness, the scripture says, exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any man. Can you weigh it? A nation to a man. Because we build a nation by individual, by human being, by our family. So if you are righteous, if your family is righteous, if within your own company you are righteous, and everybody imbibe that act of righteousness, then the nation will be lifted up. But if in your own corner, that Buhari is not there, you are still doing certain things. And the people we ask, is Buhari here now? And things are happening this way. Disobedience always turns one's joy to sorrow. No matter how the joy is, once you disobey, things will change. It will turn. And that's God, because he has set a standard which he wants every one of us to follow. Finally, disobedience can deny you entrance to the kingdom of God. Beloved of God, all these things can happen to human beings if we fail to heed to God's warning. But tonight, I have a good news for you. Hallelujah. I have a good news for you. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, whoever commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. But for this purpose, we have an advocate. For this purpose, we have Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. The scripture says, for this reason was the Son of Man made manifest, so as to destroy every works of the devil. People of God, the mantle of authority is here to destroy every works of the devil. But make your path and life straight before God, so that when we come together tomorrow, it won't be a fruitless effort, but shall be unto the glory of God. The same power is here to deliver you. The same power is here to heal you. The same power is here to break every yoke of the enemy. The same power, beloved of God, is here to destroy all works of iniquity. But you must get it right. So that, beloved, when we shall come back Thursday, Friday, then we will have a new story to tell. Shall we rise up on our feet? I don't know if God is showing you some pictures now. I don't know if God is picturing your life before you. I don't know what God is saying to somebody tonight. But I want to believe that if together we can take heed, if together we can take good heed, if together we can be able to look critically and not fall into that hole, into that pit that the enemy has planned for us, we will scale through. Hallelujah. It takes a man of God, or rather, it takes a man to discover before he can recover. If you don't discover, you can't recover. I want to beg of you tonight, even as we are all before the presence of the Almighty God, can we just close our eyes in humility? Close your eyes in humility. People of God, is part of the obedience. I always take them anywhere I go to minister, especially when it comes to deliverance, like we want to do tomorrow, that you don't need to see anybody. In fact, it's even good for you to close your eyes and be praying. What do you want to see? People that will drive demon out of their life. And by the time the demon is coming out, he will say, this one is interested. And we enter into you. What do you want to see? Don't need to see anything. Close your eyes. It's part of our practice to always close our eyes when we pray. Beloved, if you are convinced tonight that your way is not straight before the Lord, I have a good news for you. Before we come before the Lord tomorrow, we'll not be able to do much tonight. But let's be well fed, because the word of God is God. If you are going up big, you may not understand God very well. Beloved, if you know that definitely there are some hidden things, there are some certain things you need to correct, God is calling your attention to it. Like the prodigal son, you may want to come back to God. While I don't need anybody to come out, but if you know that you are concerned and you want to reclaim your glory back, just raise your hand where you are. We want to just pray. We want to pray a prayer of confession together. Just raise your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Say after me, O Lord, my Father, I heard your word tonight. I discovered I'm not upright with you. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. By your mercy, receive me back. I confess that I have eaten the forbidden fruit. I confess my sin of disobedience to you. Your word says, if we confess our sins, faithful are you, Father Lord Almighty, to have mercy on us. Welcome me back home. Make me a new person. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so, Father Lord Almighty, we thank you. You are the giver of life. You are our Father. And because you don't want us, oh God, to go astray, Lord, you have sent your word unto us, even this week. With every confidence and mantle of authority, we have declared your word. And you said, when we lift you up, Father, you will draw all men unto yourself. As many, O God, Lord Almighty, that can see their own picture, confess their sins and ask for forgiveness, restore them back in the name of Jesus. Restore them back in the name of Jesus. And Father, by the reason of this confession, make them whole. And by the time we shall meet tomorrow, you will settle your children. Thank you, Father. And for this church of God Almighty, Father, we soak ourselves into the blood of Jesus. Please shout with me, blood of Jesus, 7 times. 1, 2, go. Blood of Jesus. 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 Father, we pray that this blood be availed for us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray as many that will step upon this ground tomorrow, by the reason of your blood, they shall be made whole. And God, you will move with your power. Father, you will liberate us. You will break every yoke of sin. And tonight, oh God, there shall be divine encounter. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Just 10 minutes more. I must reach my promised land. Your hands. I must reach my promised land.
blot out disobedience, blocking me from moving forward. I raise altar of righteousness. I raise altar of holiness against every altar of disobedience, blocking my movement. Turn it to prayer. And one more we go tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Say, my glory will no more be enslaved by my enemies. Oh my God, no time. Somebody should understand that prayer. Enough is enough. No way. My glory will no more be enslaved. Do you know how many people today that the enemy is using their glory? Sorry, apologies, but no problem. We will get there. Oh, name your logo. Hey, Oluwa gbogbo mi fun mi. Hey, mi ologo re o. Oluwa gbogbo mi fun mi. Awo ko ti se ka. Won ti gbogbo mi fun ra won o. Are you there? Yeah, you are the rightful owner of your glory. You will claim it back. You will get it back. Any power that enslaves your glory, any power that is enslaving your glory, fire of the Lord will destroy them tonight. Oh, pray. Oh God, from tonight, my glory will no more be enslaved by my enemies. I want God to shake her. What he will do, remember our way. I want God to shake her. What he will do, remember our way. I said to pray. My glory, return back to me tonight. Return back to me tonight. Return back to me tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
And in the name of Jesus, every lost glory is restored in the name of Jesus.
God, the Holy Spirit, put your hands together.